August 13th, 1985, I'm at the home of Mingli and Andres Behait. Mingli is making hammocks. She learned how to do that. She's from Caracas, Venezuela. How did you learn how to make hammocks?
Well, my grandmother taught me how to do it. And she learned by my great grandmother.
And where were they from in Venezuela?
Okay, they're from Anzoátegui, El Tigre. This is a city from Venezuela, and El Tigre is a town inside the Anzoátegui, the state.
So you said that your grandmother made it mostly just for the family?
Yes. My great grandmother used to do it by a bastidor, and my grandmother learned to do it with a bastidor, but then she found a better way to do it easier.
A bastidor is a kind of loom on which they make hammocks. It's a vertical loom.
Yeah, it is a piece of wood like a stick. Put it together in a square, and then they pass the thread between the sticks, and then all is made by hand, just by hand. And they made a crineja. It's like I made first the little line with the hole inside. Okay, that's a crineja, and they begin to make it by hand
Without a crochet hook.
without a crochet hook.
How did your grandmother, did she learn from a friend how to make it with a crochet hook, without a bastidor?
Well,
Your grandmother, who?
my grandmother learned it by my great grandmother too. I think so because the bastidor was the quicker way to do the hamaca, but to find the bastidor is very difficult, and someone that to do it, the bastidor, is very difficult, and no everybody knows how to do it. And my grandmother, she had to move to Caracas from Anzoátegui to Caracas, and she couldn't carry it with a bastidor from from state to state. And I think she learned to how to do hamacas from my great grandmother, but another way, just by a rochor hook. And that's easy too, but it's a little more complicated because you ha it's more worked, more worked. And there are very, very ways to do it, because you can do it like I'm gonna show you, and this is one of the varieties that there is, but I can create a hamaca, but this is why usually my family do it, does or yeah do it, and we my family, my aunts and uncles and everybody has an hamaca, like I'm gonna do it, yeah, in home. Yeah, but okay, this is This hamaca is one of the hamacas that are okay, very sure, because you're gonna sit and okay, you're gonna sit in the hamaca and you're gonna feel sure, okay, and that's why I have to do it first. You know, the base has to do wrong,
strong,
that's right, strong, and then the lines, and then again another base, and then all another lines, and so on. Many people do it, but just lines, lines and lines, and a little base and line, lines. But this is more
secure.
Insecure, insecure, because this is more secure.
Yeah, that's good. And you use only cotton thread, or do you use a different kind of thread?
No,
Venezuela?
Just cotton thread. Pavilo.
Pavilo.
That's the name. Yeah, just pavilo. Maybe you can do the hamaca with nylon. But this is more easy to break the nylon.
Do you use them? Do you use them where you live, just for to sleep in, or just for recreation? You know, to sit in or
to sleep in and for recreation.
Both.
To go to the beach. Yeah. Mostly for recreation, I think so. But well, the people who lives in Caracas, they usually use it for recreation. But the people in town use it for to sleep.
It's is it very hot in Caracas or not?
No.
Oh right.
But in the towns it's very hot. Some towns. Yeah. Depends.
Well, one thing I want to make clear is that there are two kinds of hamacas.
Can you?
Okay, there are two kinds of hamacas, okay? The one she's going to do, we call them a chinchorro, okay? Because a chinchorro, because all the chinchorro is, there are spaces between the thread. Okay, then when all the chinchorro is compact, it's like only one piece, one is called an hamaca. Okay, when you got something like a red, is called a chinchorro.
Oh, I see.
So she's gonna make a chinchorro.
Oh, chinchorro. And then would an hamaca often be woven? I mean, like a piece of cloth instead of a red?
Yeah, just like that. That's an hamaca. And
A red is a net.
Yeah, a net. So like a net, that is the one she's going to do. And it's called a chinchorro. When it's a whole piece of cloth, it's called an hamaca. And also the hamaca has some decorations, like a net. On the sizes, it has a decoration like a net, but the thing in a whole is like a one piece of cloth, and also it can be painted with, you know, some things from typical things from the region from the hamaca come from. Okay.
I did see one that was like that. It was like a piece of cloth, and it had it was hand woven, and it had woven into it like butterflies and flowers. And then on the side, it had like crochet that hung down on the side, different colors.
That's a typical hamaca. But then the other ones, a chinchorro. We call them that. But in other countries, I don't know how they call them.
Is one kind more popular in certain places or with certain, like, Indian groups or not Indian groups than the other kind? Are the hamacas more popular with the Indians?
Well, no, all depends of the weather and the uh-huh. The climate. Uh-huh. You see, it all depends how it is too cold or it is too hot.
Right.
If there is too many mosquitoes or if there is no mosquitoes at all, because in a chinchorro you can't sleep on a chinchorro if there is mosquitoes around, because mm-hmm. they're gonna bite you all over. Yeah, they're gonna bite you. They're gonna bite you all over your back. So you need an hamaca. But also, if you have a chinchorro and there is too cold, you're gonna get all cold on your back. So you need an hamaca. Or then, if you get mosquitoes and it is too hot, okay, you need you can have an hamaca, okay, and don't get bite by the mosquitoes, okay, but you're gonna be too hot. So the best thing is to get a mosquitero. Mosquitero is a net that you put around you, like a carp, uh-huh. a tent.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And you know, keeps the mosquitoes out.
Uh-huh.
So that's the best thing to do. That's the most usual thing.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's the most usual.
Yeah.
With the hamaca, do they use the crochet pieces on the side to wrap over you if it's really
sure.
cold?
Yeah, uh-huh. sure.
Uh-huh.
They
use usually the hamaca is big enough to when you lie down on it, you can wrap the pieces that are left
right.
like on you, no?
Uh-huh.
Like a how you call it?
Blanket?
Like a blanket.
Uh-huh.
That's it. There is another thing. You have to know how to lay down on a maca. Because, you know, the maca has a shape like a banana. Okay? So if you lay down just like the shape of the maca, you're going to wake up with one of a hell backache. Okay? So you have to lay down not perpendicular, but you have to lay down
at an angle.
Yeah, in an angle on the maca, mm-hmm. and then you're gonna have part of the maca that you can use as a blanket, and also you're gonna sleep fine.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, the person that used to sleep face down, they can do this on a maca. It's very difficult to do.
Mm-hmm. I know in Mexico it's common, you know, to have maybe two or three kids, or maybe, you know, the two of the parents, you know, or a parent and the children, you know, sleep in hamacas, and they're much bigger, you know, like they have hamacas matrimoniales. They're much bigger than what the Americans usually think they are. Is this the same in Venezuela?
Well, yeah. But the thing is that you get to be used to sleep, you know, with one more person on an hamaca.
Mm-hmm.
It's very uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
That's a very difficult word. You have to get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
If the hamaca is big enough for three persons, okay. But it's gonna be difficult to get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sleep, you know, many times, mm-hmm. and get, you know, what position you have to have and the other person to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, you can do it. It's very difficult.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that many people in Caracas nowadays know how to make hamacas.
No. There's no many people that know how to do hamacas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I make it because my grandmother taught me, but I like it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I like to do.
She likes all that craft work.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
I like to do something by hand.
Right.
Yeah. The problem in Caracas is that people don't like to do things by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The most Caraqueños think that if they have the money to buy one, to buy things, they better buy them. They give the chance to other person to do it, so they can buy them, not do it themselves. For example, if they know how to fix a car, they don't fix it. Mm-hmm. They just send them to a mechanic because they think they are taking out the work of the mechanic, and that is a mechanic for mm-hmm. to fix the car. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to get into that. Mm-hmm. It's the same like a Maca. If you want to have an Maca, mm-hmm. you go and buy one. But you don't do one because there are persons that are specialized to mm-hmm. make Macas. So you don't mess around with that.
But you don't buy hamacas in Caracas.
Well, yeah, that's true. Well, you can find them. They are too expensive. They are too expensive because in Caracas they speculate with the tourists. Yeah, you have to go to the country. You're gonna find them very cheap.
Uh-huh. And on the road.
Yeah, on the roads, going to the other cities, so you can find them.
So, have you ever just made one just for yourself? Did you used to do that when you were a little girl? I mean, just make it because you like to do it.
Well, the first time I made an hamaca was 1 year and a half ago.
Oh yeah.
And I've never thought that I could. Uh-huh. Do it,
uh-huh.
But it's easy because my grandmother taught me how to
crochet
since I was a little.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And I have made pañitos.
Like doilies?
Yeah,
kitchen clothes.
Okay. Yeah, uh-huh. And that's the first thing I learned to do. Yeah, pañitos and I've never thought. Mm-hmm. I swear, I've never thought how that I could make an hamaca, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. I wanted to do it, and my grandmother taught me, and mm-hmm. I think it's easy.
Yeah, it's just bigger.
Yeah, just bigger.
What about the agarrados? Are they hard?
Well, the las agarraderas. This is more difficult to do. But I have the idea. Mm-hmm. I've never done it, mm-hmm. but I think I can do it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Because it's difficult, but I got the idea.
Uh-huh. So did you make a whole just one hamaca before?
Or? Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. I have done an hamaca, but the agarraderas was done by my grandmother.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Because I had no time to do
right.
the agarradera.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And rings.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say anillos?
Sí.
Están totalmente tejido, como de hilo o de otra cosa.
No, it's like cabuya.
No, I don't know that.
Andri. Cabuya is like. ¿Cómo es cabuya?
Well, it's...
It's like...
It's a thicker thing. It's more thick like this.
Rope?
Yeah, it's like a rope.
Mecate.
Uh-huh.
Mecate.
Yeah.
Usually we do it with... Now that there is nylon around, we do it with nylon.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It's more resistant.
So you just tie it up with nylon?
Yeah, so when you finish uh-huh. this, mm-hmm. okay, this is going to be, okay, your upper part,
uh-huh.
okay, right here. Then you make little circles,
uh-huh.
okay, or arcs, like this. And from that on, you take the nylon and make the strings that are going to go to the agarradera. And that's it.
Uh-huh.
So it's not difficult.
Uh-huh.
We got the idea, and we know how to do it.
Uh-huh.
The thing is that the day she made that hamaca or that chinchorro, we don't have the time to do the agarraderas, but it's easy.
Sure.
And we do it in nylon because it's more flexible, more resistant. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So is if you made it by of a rope made of cotton or something like that, it can break down, and it's not a nice thing to fall down on a hamaca. Yeah, all the weight is on the agarraderas. Mm-hmm. So if you can make it on the nylon, it's better. Mm-hmm. Oh, in Venezuela, you can find
stronger.
How you call this?
Pabilo.
Pabilo is pabilo. I'm sorry. It's stronger, and you can find it in many colors. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So.
So they make it in different colors. They make
And I don't know if my wife told you, but you can make all this with nylon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be more resistant.
But I think
the thing is that
I think that nylon is less resistant than pabilo.
It's less comfortable is the thing. You sweat more, you get more hard on it. If you lay down on a chinchorro made of nylon, all the, you know, you're gonna have your back like a tic-tac-toe or something like that. Okay, so it's more comfortable with.
But you think it's more resistant.
Pabilo, but it's the same resistance.
Yeah,
if you made this kind of cliche with a nylon, it's gonna be very resistant too. I think it's gonna be less comfortable. And if you're planning to take your chinchorro
to the beach.
It's better if you have
nylon
because you're gonna get on it all wet, mm-hmm. and it's better if you made it on nylon. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If she want to do it quickly.
So yeah, she can do it in a week if she did it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But a month if she did it a little bit every day.
Yeah, she make 1 hour or 2 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
and she used to do it in a month.
Mm-hmm.
And depends also in the large,
mm-hmm.
what large had to do the hammock,
mm-hmm.
or the chinchorro.
Uh-huh.
But she, she do it in a month if the hamaca, mm-hmm. is very large.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's a normal size,
mm-hmm.
she can do it in 2 or 3 weeks.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Kinds of games.
Ask me a question.
Okay, you were telling me about three different kinds of Venezuelan games, garufillo, and I don't remember
Gurufillo. Mm-hmm. Well, gurufillo is a very easy game to make. It's made of the top of a beer bottle, and then you smash it with a hammer and put it the flesh. You put it very flat. Then you make two holes simulating a bottom. And then you cross that with a thread, with a rope, or something very thin. Then you roll all that, you roll it like this, and you start putting your hands out and in, out and in. And then this bottom start to go and make a noise like that. Well, we used to play that we have one gurufillo against another gurufillo. So you start doing like this, okay, and the gurufillo start go around and around,
pulling it back
and forward, yeah. And then you start doing like that, and your gurufillo start going around very, very rapidly, and we sharp the edge of that gurufillo. So we play it. Was very, you know, dangerous. But the thing is, try to cut the strings of the other gurufillo. And if you do it well, you got it, you win. So it's a battle,
mm-hmm.
between two gurufillos.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it was difficult because you can get cut,
mm-hmm.
but you know, the experience and how many play, because we play a lot. This is not dangerous at all. Maybe here in the United States, I would recommend instead of a bottom, instead of the top of the bottle, use a big bottom. The same thing, and this bottom can't cut. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, maybe hurt a little, burn, mm-hmm. because it goes too fast. Mm-hmm. Could burn, but that's it.
Is this a game that boys usually play, or adults, or anyone?
No, only boys. Only boys. What other game? Well,
did you learn that like from your brother or something?
No, I don't have any brother, but a lot of friends. Uh-huh. From France, and this go to from generation to generation, and now it's almost lost. Only is playing at the country. In the cities, it's not play anymore. And what else? In the papagayo, you want about the papagayo? That's a kite. Yeah, the kites. We do them, we make them, it's very easy. We find all the material around the house. We can use paper bags or plastic bags, string, cloth, and that's it. A wood, piece of wood, you know, little sticks. And the way we play is when we make them fly, and in the la cola,
the tail
of the kite, we put a blade, razor blade, okay, and we make battles. Well, we love battles. Uh-huh. When we start fighting each other and try to cut the other kite, mm-hmm. with the tail. Mm-hmm. And what else?
I've seen some pictures of these where they're of different colored tissue paper in all sorts of different shapes.
Yeah.
Is that normal, or how do you? What kind of shapes and do you usually make them of? And is it just really fancy kinds with all the colors?
Well, besides the who makes the stronger kites, we also try to make them very colorful. And there are almost, we make squares and rectangulars and triangulars, but not like Japanese. You know, Japanese make it like cubes, mm-hmm. and we don't do that. We just flat, mm-hmm. any type round, but completely flat. We don't make it, you know, in that three-dimensional way Japanese do it. And, the other game, very typical, besides dominoes, that everybody knows them, mm-hmm. is bolas criollas. You know, to explain that? No?
Is that with the tops?
No, that's the balls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bolas.
Oh, you'll explain it.
Bolas criollas is, we got two teams. Each team has four balls. Then we have the red team and the green team. The green team has green balls, and the red team has red balls. Then they threw away a little white ball, the size of a ping pong ball, but heavier. And then the purpose of the game is try to get the balls the nearest to this little ball. Mm-hmm. And I threw the ball, I get it very near, and then there is the chance of the other team threw the ball and tries to hit my ball and put it away. Far away they can, and usually the team that starts has less chance, because if I throw one ball and the other team knock this ball away, then I threw away again, they threw it and so on, the last chance is going to be for the other team. Mm-hmm. So if they put all my balls away, then they have the last chance to land one ball. This is scored by points. You count how many balls are closest to this little ball, and that's it. This is playing everywhere. Usually we fence this limited area, mm-hmm. because the balls can go, you know, too far. So we limit it, and that's it.
And you use metal balls or wooden balls?
Well, I really don't know what is the material, but I believe it's gotta be wood. It has to be wood and have to treat it some way because it's real heavy. Uh-huh. I believe one ball of that can weigh about 10 pounds. Uh-huh. So it's real heavy.
Uh-huh. And you also have a game with tops? Tops of metal? Oh, that's the other thing.
Well, we also play these little balls made of crystal,
marbles.
Marbles. Uh-huh. We play that, and we got many, many ways to play them. Uh-huh. Wow, many, many, many. We play them. One thing that is, we have a triangle, mm-hmm. and then we put marbles on it, mm-hmm. and we have to start. Take off the how many the marbles you take out, you take it. Uh-huh. Of you put your marble near a wall, and then you ask some friends to try to hit that your marble with their marbles. Mm-hmm. And if they gain this, they're gonna, you know, take your marble away. Uh-huh. So if they miss, then you take his marble. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. Well, there are many, many, many games. I have to think all about. Well, the perinola is also a cup and a stick, all put. They are tied together, and then the cup only has a hole. That fix on the stick, and you have to try to put the cup into the stick. And the trompo. The trompo is like a cone, and the lower part of the cone has a nail point. And then you round all this with a string, and you have to do a movement, and this start going around, going around, going around, and still stand on this